Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my direct blog, which is lorddaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to get the podcast. You are on the iTunes search engine. It is at enter Lord Gaul or enter Warman Kickfighting Podcast Show, our kickfighting show, into your iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. First of all, I want to start off by apologizing. I had a little difficulty with my payment. Basically, my credit card changed over. That's why, if you guys noticed, the site went down for a couple days. It was because of that. So I went ahead and got it to them. It was like it's automatically takes from PayPal. So every year, I never worried about it. So for the first time ever, they said the information didn't connect. So that's why I was down for a few days. I apologize. You know, I know I've got some loyal fans. And thank you for the ones who pointed that out to me. That was definitely something that I wasn't expecting. It was always the same credit card, always ran through the same thing. But because it was PayPal, I thought that I was good, and I didn't realize that, you know, things had gotten changed. So my apologies on that, and that's kind of what put me out of action for the show for a little while. And then I'm actually on location. I'm, you know, in the merry old land of Ireland right now. Basically, I'm here because of my fighter, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. He got into the UFC. We took a fight on 2 weeks' notice. He's in shape. We're ready to compete. Thank you for all the people who've given me the kind words on Facebook and Twitter. But we're ready to compete. We're ready to go out there and do our best. So thank you. But I'm going to go ahead and get into what I'm here for. Talk about that, you know, good old-fashioned kickboxing. I've got tons of news for you. It's been 2 weeks, so I've got tons and tons and tons of news for you. I've got a lot of things that I want to, visit as far as big cards and, you know, controversies and all that kind of stuff. We've got a little bit of everything. But first, I'm going to have to start on a sad note. It was tough to, you know, when I was kind of putting this together, I didn't know if I wanted to put this at the end or at the beginning, but, you know, you definitely want to address anytime something, you know, something major happens in the kickboxing news that's a little bit outside of the norm. And in this situation, former Glory welterweight champion Mark Davante has come up missing. Basically, the situation is they found his vehicle, and it was kind of by a river by itself, and it looks like, you know, all signs, of course, by the police, looks as if he, you know, was attacked or something happened and his car was just left vacant sitting in the, you know, kind of sitting alone. And they started, like, there's a nearby, like, river or something, lake or body of water near it. And they've been, like, combing that body of water. They're trying to find where he is. They haven't gotten any information. You know, we're about a week since this story first broke. And definitely, you know, our, you know, prayers and thoughts to him and his family. Because, you know, I know that there's a certain society that's against that sort of thing. But, you know, who don't like the idea of saying, you know, prayers and thoughts or whatever. But all I want to suggest to you guys is, you know, from a Christian standpoint, the reason why we usually say prayers is because biblically there's this Jesus goes to Lazarus' house, and basically he's passed away and the people are mourning, and Jesus weeps because he feels sorry for the people who feel sorry. He's mourning with them, he's walking with them. So when I use the term prayers and thoughts, that's what I'm thinking. I'm walking with a family who had no idea that this was going to happen to Davante. I'm walking with his fight team, who seemed to say that, you know, he's an upstanding guy, didn't seem like the type of person that would get into that sort of thing. I want to do everything I can to be there with those who are going through a hard time. So I hope I don't offend anybody by saying prayers and thoughts. I'm just saying I want to do my best to reach out to those who were really affected by Mark Davante coming up missing. And when I first heard it, I really, really hoped that it was just, you know, maybe he, you know, was at some party, or maybe he, you know, left town with somebody, or maybe just communication wasn't there. But by the sounds of it, it's probably going to be worse than that. So definitely my prayers and thoughts go out to those who are really, really dealing with the fear of what could be going on with this young man. And, you know, I definitely hope for better days for his family. I'm going to have to continue on that same, you know, down note, because we had another tragedy happened just recently, and it just happened at Double K Gym, and it's scary because Kieran Kettle, you know, if we follow each other on Facebook, and I've known him for quite some time, because, you know, he's always done his work with Infusion, and he was on my podcast. He's a real good guy, and he was in the kickboxing documentary. So I've always been grateful for you know, what he's done as far as helping me in the documentaries, what he's done with his contributions with Muay Thai. We're talking about a guy who's probably at one of the heights of his career. You know, Idris Elba, of course, is the actor that's moved into the Muay Thai world. Kieran Kettle, you know, coached him. Kieran Kettle worked with Jason Statham. Kieran Kettle has, you know, champions out of his gym. He is just one of the stand-up great guys in the sport. But unfortunately, he posted something that said the gym is going to be closed down for reasons having nothing to do with the gym. And that was, like, really strange. I didn't know where to come from. And then, of course, the news came out that George Barker was attacked by several men with knives, and he was killed in the gym. By the sounds of it, there are other people in the gym around, so they just came up and they attacked him and then fled the scene. And, you know, the police weren't able to, you know, or help wasn't able to get there in time to save Barker's life. It's just, it's scary. Like you just, there is no predicting this sort of thing. Again, I use the term prayers and thoughts because I really don't have an answer for this sort of thing. You know, I don't know George Barker's situation. I don't know if maybe, you know, some men had felt crossed by him in a certain way that they were driven to this point. You know, I didn't know if he had good ties or bad ties. I didn't know if it was what had happened. I don't know this situation. All I know is how scary must it have been for a guy who was pretty much in a place of recreation. And gyms are safe places all over the world. Boxing gyms, kickboxing gyms, MMA gyms, Muay Thai gyms, they're safe places. You know, you hear all the stories of guys saying, I used to get into trouble, and then this door was open for me, and I lived in the gym, you know. And I remember Telly Atlas talking about how, you know, how Jesus, you know, takes the poor and you know, and the you know, the unappreciated and the weak and so on. He says, well, that's the boxing gym. And in that way, combat sports has always been a home to people who have had, you know, rough upbringings, you know, bad home situations, bad school situations, bully situations. We've always been that safe place. So it's scary when I heard that George Barker would be in his safe place and someone would attack him in that situation, and probably chose that time to do it because, you know, he'd be in Muay Thai shorts and he'd be in gear preparing to work out. He wouldn't be in whatever he'd be on the streets. Maybe they saw him as someone who'd be able to handle himself better, you know, maybe get weapons and so on to handle himself better in the streets. I don't know that situation, but how scary must it have been if you were in the gym that day and you saw that scene? I really, you know, my heart goes out to them. That's just, it's just a scary situation, and I didn't want to put that on the end of this podcast because I didn't want it to be an afterthought. I wanted us to, as a community, realize how blessed we are to have the sport, realize how blessed we are to have just different people of different faiths and different ideal sets, and they'll come in and they'll compete, and just the love of the sport will bring so many people together. Grateful that we have that, but I wanted to make sure I address these situations. I didn't want to push them to the end of the show kind of as a walk-off. I want to go ahead and let the athletes that make kickboxing special be the focus of my podcast. But when we lose some of those athletes, I want to make sure I stop, bring it up as the major news, because we're a sport that really, MMA is big because of the UFC brand is really big, and that's why MMA is really popular, and that's why MMA is hot right now. They've got stars, they've got, you know, Connors and Rondas and so on. Well, kickboxing and Muay Thai, we're big because our product is so good. When people sit down and they watch a show, they are amazed at just how entertaining that show was, how well those fights were put together, how well those guys competed. That's what makes us. So it definitely was a down situation that, you know, this would come up and we wouldn't get the opportunity to, you know, see these athletes compete ever again. So, but I want to bring it up. And I want to move on to the rest of the podcast show, you know, with just good spirits about the special athletes who put on a great product. And if we lose some of the athletes that have added to that product over the years, I'm going to make sure I stop and I say something on their behalf. I'm going to go ahead and go right into Glory Nice. And it was a very, very entertaining card. Good from top to bottom. There were some fights that you're like, yeah, you know, but I thought they did their best as far as how they wanted to match make. And, you know, I saw some skill here and there. Let's go ahead and start with the undercard. I won't go through the whole thing. I'll start with Petnamrung Kiet Mukau as he gets a seriously one-sided victory over Stanislav Reneda. 30-27 in all cards, but the reflection of what happened in the fight is just Renito just looked like he's playing behind the whole time. Pet Pong Nung Rung was just craftier, landed with all kinds of offense, landed with sneaky step knees, boxing was good, kicks got out of the way. He didn't have the aggression that I like to see for the weight class. You know, I want to see a little bit more come forward. I want to see, you know, clearly I'm happy that Thais are getting their opportunities in kickboxing because they can drop the elbows and compete just as well and with the kickboxing skill set. But the reason why I bring it up is because I really do hope that when you bring a Thai over, if they feel like they've got that advantage, they do like Sitichai and they turn on the mean. You know, that's, you know, Yotsen Klai is still to me one of the standards for kickboxing or even Muay Thai. In terms of how Thais compete on the international level. None of this get up, don't get hit, and get the victory in the scorecards will fly on a long time, on a long basis with international, unless, like, you've got the right promoter. Like Sayak, for example. Sayak was a guy who I thought when I saw him on cards and, you know, Slam and all over the world, I was like, you know what? This guy's, for me, a passable Thai. You know what I'm saying? He's okay, but I like a little bit more mean. So Anawat was maybe a little bit too mean, you know what I'm saying, because he was able to be out kickbox because he was playing a game that the Westerners could play. But, man, give me some Sanchai, you know what I'm saying? Sanchai will hold, stay in the pocket and look to drop a guy and look to get mean. He's got his sneaky knees, sneaky kicks, his jumping techniques. He brings the fight to people. And if he gets you hurt, he turns it up. Got to have Sitichai, got to have Yotsen Klai, we got to have the guys who turned it up. I thought Pet Nam Rung did a good job of being the offensive mind, pushing the pace, really landing effective striking. I just didn't feel like in the end I was sold 100%. He showed me a lot, but I want to see more. That's all I mean. I want to see if he can, you know, hit that switch and turn into that next guy. So good stuff there. Christian Baia gets a upset victory, if you will, over Josh Johnson. He takes the fight majority decision on short notice. If I remember correctly, it came down to how you judged round one. Jonsi clearly won round three, and then Baia, even though he was losing as far as the total strikes go, then all of a sudden he got Jonsi hurt about the 2 minutes into the round, continued to pour it on, because Christian Baia pretty much, he kickboxed sometimes, but really he sits on his big offensive, you know, shots, and he, you know, was able to, you know, put a offensive series together where he got Jonsi hurt, and then Jonsi was trying to get his feet back, and, you know, Jonsi eventually went down due to the, you know, just to the barrage of him, you know, getting hit and trying to defend himself but not being able to keep his feet as he did so. Jonsi was right back at it round three, back to winning the kickboxing, back to doing his thing, but it just came down to how you saw round one. Christian Baia did land what I always call the sexy shots, the ones that you remember on scorecards. And Jonsi, I thought, did a good job of winning the kickboxing, doing what he does, getting the low kick game going, getting the combo flow going. But in the end, Baia's power and that second round was the thing that carried the day for him. And he, you know, one of the cards gave it 30-27 to him. Another card was 29-27 in his favor. So that 29-27 means they only, you know, he got the, because of the point taken. And, you know, he lost the third round, but he got up early enough to secure that lead. So we'll see what comes more from Baia. I've seen him fight several times, and cool guy to follow on Instagram. He's excited about the opportunity, and he was short notice. This was a fight that's been changed several times. You know, it was supposed to be Dylan Salvador at first, and then it was Sierra Adamchuk, and then it ended up being Christian Baia. So I'm glad that Baia was able to compete, and when he got this opportunity on short notice, he showed up. So credit due, and we'll see what comes from them down the road. Emil Debi gets a victory over Juwan Lee, and I've seen Emil fight before. This is Debi's best fight. Like, she was clean. Her 1-2 was so clean. How she jumped the 1-2, that just means you've got a clean step motion before you fire 1-2, as opposed to your feet being planted and you're doing the technique from the turn of your the balls of your feet, just like your normal score. Some people have a nice sharp step where they can go bop bop as far as how their 1-2 scores, and she was able to close the distance to score clean with that. Thought her boxing was crisp throughout. Thought her kicks were well timed and well placed. I thought Lee was, you know, just overmatched. She was a young woman going against again, she would not have been my pick as a as a kickboxer from her country, but she's, you know, growing, learning, getting better, but she wouldn't have been my pick for this opportunity. Debbie is also would not have been one of my picks. Not that I didn't think she had the skill set, and she really, really impressed me in this one. But I bring her name up because, you know, I mentioned before, they had Iman Barlow in this tournament. They didn't have her anymore. Iman's one of the best in the world. You got to have her in there, you know. And you got Anissa Mexen. She's the best in the world. Got to have her in there if you're going to do a glory tournament. And this is bigger than Anissa's weight class. You know, she's a little smaller than this. Same thing for Iman. So I would have liked to see more of those names in, but I was good with Emil Debbie. That's a solid, solid competitor. This is the best performance that I would say that I've seen her in, and on the biggest stage. So she moves on to the Glory four-woman tournament. I'm excited to see where this goes, but it's looking like she is almost clearly going to run into Tiffany Von Soest in the final. I thought that Tiffany would run away with it. Debbie at least showed me enough to show that she could possibly make it close, even though I still have Tiffany Von Soest winning the tournament. Should be good stuff. Kareem Ben Mansour gets a very forgettable victory over Ivan Denenberg. It's just not a notable fight. It was ugly. They kept punching, and they'd end up in the clinch. It was just nasty on all fronts. Both guys are capable of much better kickboxing. Denenberg, his last glory performance, like, that was a fun fight. This one was like the complete opposite, you know, and it just, couple strikes. Sometimes it's just the desire to want to get in there and exchange stuffs the offensive work, and that's what has some of these rounds looking not so great. You got to really be conscious of that sort of thing, you know. If you're not conscious of what your offensive skill set will, you know, take you in so much that you end up in a clinch, if, you know, the ref can only break it so many times, it's going to make for ugly fights if you can't be clean there. So definitely, to all the fighters out there, when you see those fights where guys and girls end up in the clinch over and over and over, it's just because they have committed to a strike so much that if the combo doesn't work, they'll settle with restarting in the clinch. Keep yourself at Andy Sauer range, you know. Keep yourself in where you can score. If you end up there, you're trying to push away, but in the end, you want to throw hands, you know. Now, if you get somebody who's going to fall into you, that you just got to do your best with that. But these guys were both consistently falling into each other. Very, very forgettable outing. Both guys definitely capable of showing and doing more. Nicholas Wamba gets a victory over Nordin Mehedin. It was, you know, 30-27 on most cards, and then a 29-28. By the way, we went back to the five-judge system, for those who are wondering. And like the Jonsi fight I mentioned before, there were two 28-28 scorecards, which is how I had it. I had Jonsi winning round one and three. I thought that they was going to go to an extra, but then they had three judges that had it the other way, two 29-27s and a 30-27. But they brought the five-judge system back because that's, you know, an ode to Simon Roots, who, of course, in its showtime is one of the first guys that I know to use more judges. So good stuff there by a lot of the scorecards. I don't remember having a scorecard thinking, and I have to revisit it, but I don't remember having a scorecard and wondering, man, that's way more, you know, way off to what I had it. I thought that the fights reflected what happened in the scorecards, and that's important. Off the top of my head, I'd have to recheck my Twitter to see if it was different, but off the top of my head, that's how I recall it. We move on. As I said, Nicholas Wamba gets a victory. Nicholas Wamba showed good kickboxing. He just didn't show, you know, the KO pop, the ability to put somebody in their butt. Like, that wasn't there. He's capable of it, definitely good enough. He just doesn't seem like he's born with a pop. Like, he's good enough to score consistent scores, good enough to possibly score down with a clean shot at the right time. But he doesn't have that, you know, Badr Hari, Mike Bernardo, Jerome LeBanner, put him on the butt, you know what I'm saying? He's part of this new generation of kickboxer, which might be more technical than powerful. Doesn't mean that power can't come, but if you look at the way that a Rico Verheeven scores a KO and you compare it to how a, you know, Marquand scores a KO. Marquand has moments where he can just exchange and land big over the top, whereas Rico Verhoeven seems to still score it in the fluidity of his combinations being clean and crisp and sharp, something that he's just developed through work and work and work. It's a new generation of heavyweight, a little bit different. Wamba falls into that mold. Don't know if I feel that there is a world, you know, glory champion potential in him, but I definitely see a guy who could be a mainstay in their four-man tournament, because this tournament that they just did was pretty much a bunch of guys that we'd already seen before, so we definitely want to get more looks. Wamba, get him in the next heavyweight tournament. We move into the main card. It's Benjamin Adeboye defeats Hezdy Higgins, 30-27 on everybody's cards. Before, when they met before, Hezdy had gotten the low kick game going pretty consistently. This time, Adeboye had the boxing so sharp, and he had the counter kick game too, but his offensive output with the boxing was way different. Hezdy's got okay KO pop, and he's able to drop some guys. He's not able to drop elite guys. For the most part, you know, if you look at his career, you'll say, oh, okay, there's a KO here and there. But when he goes against the, you know, the better guys in the world, you see that KO kind of power kind of go away. But he still puts together good, effective kickboxing, and he wins solid rounds. You know, he really did dominate Semi Shelton in the last round of one of their fights. He had good professional resistance when he went against Bader Hari. I thought Bader Hari was winning the fight, but I thought Hezdy had him super frustrated because Bader couldn't get him out of there. I thought he'd be able to just, you know, blast away like he does, and Hezdy was right there. Hezdy's got the resume. He's gone against some tough guys, but I know he wants to have more wins. Once upon a time, he, you know, got a – and, of course, a part of it was Daniel Gita's fault, because he put his hands down at a period of time in the second round and kind of gave up scores. But man, but he put on a pretty good kickboxing performance that night. In the rematch, of course, he was stopped and beat quite severely. But it just shows he doesn't have the KO pop to exchange with guys. So in this situation with Adeboye, he was playing the kick game, but Adeboye's ability to just keep flowing the combos together, put the low kick drop on the end of it, it just meant that Hezdy was kind of playing second and playing from behind in all of the exchanges. So shout out to Benjamin Adeboye. He moves on. Mladen Brustovic does what he does. He gets a head kick KO over Jeff R. Wilness. It was a head kick. Left leg, of course, if you guys know Brustovic, that's the killer. Left leg comes up. Jafar Wilness, if I remember correctly, I think he may have had the glove up some, but then it still clipped. And Jafar was like frozen in motion after the score, and Mladen threw a security punch to put him down, but it wasn't even the hardest punch in the second shot. The head kick had done the damage, and Wilness loses this fight after having, and he's still good fired, and he still had an amazing run, despite the fact that he's lost two in a row, to Brustovic, and then of course losing to Ismael Lant. He is still a good guy who turned his career around through his work and his fight opportunities in China. Brustovic, I mean, he's always had that kick. And I worry about his ability to win rounds a lot, but he is committed to letting that left leg go to the body and then sneaking the high kick in there when he gets his opportunity. Good stuff by him. He gets a victory and he moves on. And two head kick KO victories over Jafar Wilness. Very, very rare that you would say something like that. You'd say victory by stoppage, but to say victory by head kick KO over the same person, that's pretty rare. We move on into the tournament field, and we're going to go to the regular fight card. We go Pavel Zhurevlev. He gets a victory over Zinedine Hamar Lane. This is the Pavel Zhurevlev that I thought I was going to see in the beginning. I thought I was going to see a guy who was going to go in and show the kind of KO pop that put Benjamin Adeboye on his butt like less than 20 seconds into the fight. He's got a stoppage victory over Adeboye. He's got a stoppage loss to him too in a third round where Adeboye really picked up the kickboxing in that battle and then won in the third. But Zhurevlev has always been a guy who's been good about exchanging, closing the distance. He got Zinedine hurt early and got him out of there early. That he brought the fight. And he's got victories in his past of guys like Gokhan Saki. Zhurevlev is serious, and I think he's going to be a contender. He's going to be a guy to look for in that weight class. This was a good win for him, and it showed the kind of action that he brings to the fight. It's so weird that I've been watching this guy since he was an amateur, and I remember when some videos of his performances first emerged from the mid-2000s, mid to late 2000s, It's just crazy, you know. Before, I mean, 2000 to 2010, around that 2005 to 2008 period of time is when some videos started to emerge from him. It's just so crazy to see him here now. Good victory for him. Benjamin Adebuyi gets another 30-27 clear unanimous decision over Mladen Brustovic. The first time they met, he stopped him with low kicks. Same thing here. Got him hurt with the low kicks early. Mladen, of course, still threw, you know, that kick to the body, left leg to the body, left leg to the head. It's just he doesn't have the volume to keep a guy like Benjamin Adebuyi off of him. So Benjamin just kept playing. Bang, 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 low kick. Bang, 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 low kick. Either leg, both legs were hurt, slowed him down, really got up in the scorecards. Good stuff by Adebuyi. He wins another tournament. Then, of course, the question afterwards was, what do you do next? Because your training partner is, you know, now he moved camp from Romania to Daniel Gita's team. That's the next move, you know, like, what do you do next? You know, you've already fought for the title a couple times. He said, we'll just have to, you know, deal with that bridge when we get to it. So maybe a fight with Ishmael Lant will be put together. But I want Ishmael Lant to get a title shot after Badhari gets a title shot. Artem Vakhadov gets to close the show thanks to some injuries. And I'm glad he did because this guy is truly one of the best fighters on the planet. He pretty much schools Zach Mukasa. Mukasa had some moments here and there where he, like, let the combination flow go and he put a kick on the end of it. You can see the work in Holland is showing up. It's just not consistent, and Zach Mukasa usually relies on his ability to move, find a big shot, move, find a big shot, walk you down, fight a big shot, combo flow that makes him look like a kickboxer, and then back to moving, walking you down, and then looking for something big. When I mean my move, I don't necessarily mean, you know, your usual hit-and-run type movement. I just think that he has moments where he'll just be rocking and stepping. And that's movement, too. It's a different type of movement. And I thought that he'll have, not throwing offense, just walking and stepping and carrying a rock with him, carrying steady hands in periods of time where he just kind of is, like, frozen with his guard up. Then he'll get his feet creeping. Just little things like that. Walks the guy down, looks for big shots. Artem Vakhadov scored everything that he wanted to score. He beat him with boxing. He beat him with combinations to the low kicks. He beat him with kicks. He got three knockdowns in the second round by hurting him with the hands. And Zach Mukasa, to his credit, for his toughness and how strong he is and how powerful he is, his chin is, you know, I won't say suspect, but he's been hurt before. You know, he's been dropped by a head kick, you know, to Calvary, and, you know, it's something that you can get him at. And Vakhadov, I really thought, showed every skill and scored everything that you could score. Artem Vakhadov is one of the best fighters on the planet. Clearly, I'm hoping Gokhan Saki comes back. I would love if Tyron Spong came back and fought Vakhadov. Like, I want to see him fight other guys. Even Zverev makes sense to me. Get Vakhadov competing on a regular basis. I hated that Zach Mukasa fought for an interim title because Vakhadov won the title this year. And this would technically be his first title defense. But because the fight with Mukasa didn't happen before, they made the fight between him and Buzidi, another fight I wouldn't mind seeing Vakhadov in, again. They made that fight, and Mukasa is, I can't remember if it's again. But Zach Mukasa, they then, you know, made his fight with Buzidi for a interim title. I'm like, why do you have to do it? You do interim titles when the guy's going to be gone for like a year. This guy was gone for like, you know, he returned in 7 months instead of four. You know, it's just weird how that goes. So I'm hoping that they do a better job of getting him out there. You guys know how I feel about their video promo package. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Not in terms of like, I don't, you know, like the idea of them trying to sell the techniques that happen in sport, but just sell it with your athletes. Use that promo to just show the fighters that you want people to know to be a household name, and let your highlights only be their victories and successes in the ring are them in training. But to have some random mooks that nobody knows doing spin kicks and, you know, simulating kickboxing action, that don't fly. We got to get rid of that. Those guys had their run. Now put your stars in that spot. We're going to go ahead and move on into more results. I'm going to go ahead and we'll keep it fun. Zakaria Zoghari gets his revenge as he takes the shootboxing S-Cup crown in Japan. Here's the thing with this. We've mentioned this before. 2 years ago, he fought Suzuki Hirayuki, if I'm remembering correctly. It could have been Hideki. But anyways, that fight was one of the great robberies of the kickboxing world, because not only does Zakaria clearly win rounds one through three, they went to an extra, and in the extra, I think they even went to another extra after that. And then it was almost like they were waiting for Suzuki to finally land something, which he did. That got scored it down in Zakaria, and then that made him the champion of that tournament. It happened late in that round, but man, Zakaria Zoghari is just one of the better kickboxers in the world, and he's so entertaining to watch. The fact that him and Ilias Belaid are fighting next year in February just blows my mind. And Fusion has been doing a good job putting their best show every year on that February. And that's good because it leaves room all year for other cards to have big years. But man, February, they go in. That is their big one. So we'll go ahead and go through the tournament field a little bit. Suzuki Hirayuki gets a victory over Hideki. Extra round decision there. Messiah, oh my gosh, Charles Bennett. Charles Bennett for his antics. He got an MMA guy, and not just any MMA guy, Philip Manaro, who can punch a little bit. He was able to get him by quick KO, Charles Bennett was, in the Risen fight. So he jumps into the S-Cut tournament because, of course, he's notable. He looks at the camera, makes faces, that kind of stuff, whatever. It was clear that Bennett was like, what did I get myself into? Because Messiah was giving him that work. He was just smashing him. Kicks, combinations, anything you want, anything he wanted to land, he landed to great effect. And he put it on. He hurt him. And I look back at it and I'm like, man, Charles Bennett, you know, you're a great character and so on. You put on, you know, a good show and people like watching you. And, you know, you say good, weird things on the mic, good and bad. But when I watched this fight, I was like, wow, this is just an absolute murder job. So Bennett, you know, did his best, went out there. Messiah gets the victory. He moves on. Zakaria Zoghari, go ahead and this is a familiar theme. His first round stoppage over Yamaguchi Yudo. He gets it going early. He keeps the pace throughout. Taplan Hedesau workout gets a victory over Mizuchi Yusuke. And let me tell you something, this fight was awesome. These guys, there were several downs in the fight. I want to say Yusuke started off, I think he scored a down early in round one and a back and forth where there were a lot of exchanges. There may have even been a down by him early in round two, but Taplan took over in the next, you know, the end of that frame. He dropped Yusuke several times, getting the decision because you don't get two downs in those tournaments. So he gets the KO victory. It was just fun. You just got to find this fight on YouTube. I'll do my best now. I'll spell it out. Taplon Hades, and then literally workout, Workout. And he takes on Mizuchi Yusuke, Mizuchi Yusuke. You got to give this fight a look. It is very, very entertaining. We move on to the semifinals after those four bouts. Messiah gets a victory over Hideki. By the sounds of it, I believe Hideki was the one who moves on because Hirayuki was hurt. Messiah goes in there, gets a stoppage. It's his second stoppage in the world. You know how you get down in tournaments. Gets a stoppage over Hideki, who had fought an extra round and probably and lost that round, so it didn't have what it takes to go out there and compete with Messiah, who was on form. Zakaria Zoghari then gets a victory over Taplan Hades workout, and they meet. They go down to the finals where Zakaria Zoghari gets a just beatdown of Messiah, just beats him down. And Zakaria is a guy who I look at him and I go, how is it possible that this guy isn't signed to a Glory, isn't signed to a K1? Now that he's out there on S-Cup, hopefully they let him do both. Because I know he gets an okay check with S-Cup, but he don't get the kind of check that he probably wants there. But, you know, he's moving forward, get the opportunity to compete. It was really cool that he got on this card in the first place. And it's cool that he got another opportunity because he did great with that opportunity. Kickbox well, gets a big-time victory. Going to go ahead and go into some of the undercard single fights, not all of them. Mio, of course, who I've mentioned before, she gets a six-round decision over Union Suri. I bring Mio up, of course, because I've got her on my list for my best female fighters in the world. She's, you know, been consistent for this brand. There's been some movement. I don't know if she'll make the next list because she was kind of in that, you know, 15, 14, 13 range for me, but she gets a victory here. Sometimes, if you guys are wondering, you see that extra round. If they don't have a decision, they'll just keep going. They'll keep asking adding on. So I didn't get to see this fight, so I don't know if I'm looking at a typo or if they actually did keep going until they got a winner. But Mio gets a W. Let me see. I'll do two more. Andy Sauer gets a victory over Miyakoshi Tsuchiro. And Tsuchiro is, you know, probably lucky to just be in there. Andy Sauer, I'm glad that he still does shoot boxing. I'm glad that he still does kickboxing here and there, because I know he's committed to MMA and trying to make something of it late in his life to give that kind of sport a try and see what he can do with it. And Rizin's using him, and he's a known commodity there. I think Andy Sauer is still a pretty good kickboxer. I think he's still in that 15 to 25 range. I think that he can still beat anybody on the right day in that, you know, top 10. There are guys there who, if Andy Sauer matches up with them, I think that he can get a victory. But he gets another, you know, fight victory for shoot boxing, who really, to how he made his name, you know, 19, 20 years old when he wins his first tournament. You know, he's got all those fights. I remember first seeing his record when he was like 130-2 or something like that. Andy's the man. You know, you always want to see Andy do well. So congrats to him there. Rena gets a victory over Kimberly Nuñez. They fought before, if I remember correctly. Nuñez was in the last tournament, that the last women's S-Cup tournament that Rena won. Rena did her work, three-round decision. She's continuing to be an ambassador. She's great to follow on Instagram because she posts, you know, whenever she meets someone in Rizin, she takes pictures with them. She shows her MMA training. Like, she takes pictures of the crew that she's with there. She has the entertaining style. She can really rip to the body. She can exchange well. She's a beautiful girl that, you know, that always helps. And she's really taken to fighting. And I remember a friend talking about how the weird thing, that vibe that people got from her, is they always felt like she was a couple of losses from not ever wanting to do the sport again. You know, like, she's just, it's going well. She's enjoying it. So that's why she's doing it. But despite the fact that she's been winning, and she's been winning a lot, you know, Jessica Penny was like her last loss, if I remember correctly. She's been winning a lot lately in MMA and, you know, and in kickboxing and shoeboxing rules. They just got to keep putting her on TV and have her compete as much as possible, because she can be and probably is one of the more notable stars. She's clearly the biggest star for them in that country. But she has the potential. If she can get herself into a glory-type tournament with her look, she could do something with it. Now, she's a small person. She's like, you know, she looks decently, like, curvy and thick for a woman her size. But she's, you know, got down there in weight kind of closer to, you know, 110 pounds, you know, like, she's, you know, even smaller than the 115 you see in the UFC. So shout out to Rena. Good stuff. Definitely wish her all the best. And to go ahead and hop into some super combat. I got to watch some of this card, not all of it, but they had a, you know, pretty decent event in Germany. Or excuse me. Where was that event at? I want to say it was in Romania specifically. I can't think of the city off the top of my head. But anyways, they had a decent event. They had several title fights on the line. I'm going to really focus more on those title fights. I'm not going to do the whole card. But I was definitely pleasantly, you know, pleased with some of the stuff that I saw on the title fight. Go ahead and start with the women. As we have Mihirja Malencia, she gets a victory over Ania Fuchs. The weird thing is, Ania Fuchs in her prime was really good at exchanging, closing the distance, and scoring big time hands, and had good kickboxing flow. But she was so strong, you know, that that's how she was able to do it. She fights MMA sometimes too, so boxes. She's just a prize fighter. I believe she's either in a relationship or got married recently, but she keeps it working. And then you've got Malencia, who really showed the kickboxing savvy that Ania used to show in the day, back in the day. Scored really well with the low kicks. I heard coach keep yelling it out. Scored well when the combination exchanges. Moved well. There were some periods of time where in the second and third round, Ania would just, you know, throw and then end up in the clinch, throw and then end up in the clinch. And again, it's you sell out on the offensive technique that you're throwing, and you don't mind going into the clinch afterwards. It's something that fighters usually allow to happen rather than throwing a few, you know, biting down on the mouthpiece, keeping the guard up and looking to score in between, looking for the counter opportunities. Usually they're all out. They're all in on one combination. And when it doesn't happen, they end up in the under over position, or they end up in chest to chest. They end up in a clinch that the ref has to break up. So the interesting thing about this fight I thought that it was a clear victory from Lencia when they were going to go to the carts. And then they say the red corner, which was Malencia, and then they say Ania Fuchs. And in Ania's corner, they start celebrating, thinking that they won, that kind of stuff, whatever. But right away, Ania knew, I'm not the red corner. Like, if anything, if they're going to have something wrong, it wouldn't be the names and not the corners. It's going to be... it'd be the names and not the corners. They're going to have the corner right. They're going to have the names wrong. In this situation, because again, you know, we got one girl from Croatia, one girl from Germany, I believe, on a fight card that took place in Romania, if I remember correctly. So that was an awkward situation. Valencia was chilling, and then the guy said, there's been an error. And then he went ahead and corrected it. And to Ania Fuchs' credit, she was like, from the beginning, she knew that the other girl had won. She knew that red corner wasn't her. And even though her team was kind of like celebrating, you know, thinking that they snuck out with one, she said, hey, you know, I was beaten. They, you know, they said the wrong, you know, name, but they said the right corner and they corrected it. So I do think Malencia is a good chance she's going to be my top 15 when I do that list. I'll probably do it next week. I was trying to wait until after the Glory event, and I was just going to do a year-end one. And there's a good chance that I will, because Glory is not that far away. But good year for her. Good winning this tournament. Good winning this title. Hope to see more from the young lady. Chris Degembe looked to defend his Super Combat Championship. Was not so. Amancio Perishiv is putting it together. Very, very talented guy. Good combination to kick flow. Always been good with, you know, his hands and finding good opportunities and countering. And even though he's a savvy veteran, Chris Degembe has never been one to be able to stay consistently defensive for entire rounds. And if he does focus on his defense a lot, he can be outscored. You know, normally he can find his offensive moments and spots, and he's got really good step-up knees, jumping knees, you know, high kicks that he can pull out of nowhere. Chris Degembe has had a great kickboxing career in terms of experience, in terms of accomplishments, in terms of where he's gone, in terms of, not accomplishments, but in terms of opportunities. He's really looks back on his career and say, what a great run that I had. He may not be a Hall of Famer, may not be one of the guys. You're probably going to know more a Petrosian victory over him than you're going to know a Chris Degembe victory over, you know, the guys that he's beaten in his career. You're going to think about Marek Gorian or the Marek Gorian beating him. You're going to think about stuff like that. But really, this guy fought for a Showtime. He's fought for a Super Combat. He's fought, you know, so many fight opportunities. He really made a great run of it. And he became a lawyer during this, you know, his fight career. So, shout out to him. Wish him all the best. Definitely good stuff there. The last fight, I was not able to see all the way, but I can give you enough of it. Christian Aspectu, you know, gets the Super Combat Lightweight Championship, and he beats Simon Santana. If Simon Santana is the one I'm remembering correctly, I believe that's the gentleman who took the big-time knee stoppage to Ilias Belaid, the walk-up knee, or step-up knee, where he really kind of launched it up there. I believe that was him. Spectu is a solid guy, but I need to see more. I'm not sold on him. I haven't seen him go against the competition. That would make me say, this is a guy to watch. But good stuff. Good victory for him. Good stuff for Super Combat, who came out and thanked, you know, go ahead, let me see. Liver Kick had a pretty good write-up on it. They came out and they, you know, he thanked Eurosports broadcasting team for being there with them throughout the years and getting them on TV. He said they're going to come to the States. Now, remember, they tried to come over and do Puerto Rico. That fell through. So they're going to try to come over to America. Definitely love to see how that works out. And, you know, Eduard Irimia has been doing good stuff for them for a while. At minimum, he's been giving his athletes the opportunity to compete on a regular basis. And he's using a lot of names. He's got a good system that just keeps these guys active, and that's what you need sometimes. You know, you can't have world-class on the whole card. Some of it's got to be development, and that's kind of what happened here. So definitely a shout-out to him there. Road to Glory tournament is going to be returned. Road to Glory is the tournament that made Justin Jacoby famous, of course, you guys know. Justin Jacoby is a guy who's got the very famous story of, you know, he's training at a gym in Illinois. Opportunity comes, they're looking for a guy who could, you know, be around 93 kgs, and that's not his weight class. His weight class is, you know, more their middleweight class because he made it to the UFC as a 185er. But, yeah, basically sitting around, he thought it'd be an opportunity for some sparring, so he drove down, see what would happen. Turns out they move him to fighting the one of the two favorites, and Boom Boom, Blake Boom Boom, on that card. And he stops Boom Boom, and he goes on to stop everybody in the tournament, including Colette. And he's won several tournaments since then. He's got a lot of he's beaten Brian Collette again since then. He's had a lot of really solid victories, got to fight for the title. He's had a great run. There are other guys who won those tournaments, and those guys are kind of all over the place in the in the Glory brand, getting opportunities to fight single fight here and there. But it's making its way to England now, so I'm definitely excited to hear that, because England, of course, has got a pretty good system of guys, and I just want to see more opportunities for fighters to compete, you know, in the way that, you know, Myron Dennis and Collette and, you know, Ambang get opportunities to fight on the States a lot. I would love it if Glory, who's going to be, you know, I think, what was it? Let me find that date again. March 18th is where it seems like it's going to be going down. So hopefully we'll get to see some good guys be produced, because there's enough opportunities to fight kickboxing in England, because it's one of the hotbeds for combat sports just in the world in general. So hopefully we get some good talent from it, and it shows that Glory is investing in itself for down the road, because if there's one thing that helped K1 be the almighty king of all things combat sports, is they let other promoters use the K1 name. They let them, you know, even if it wasn't the official K1 product, they say you can use the K1 rule sets, use the K1 logo. Then they were allowing people to do regional tournaments. Then they were getting talent without spending the money. And people then saw it as, culturally, if you want to make it, you got to be good enough to get yourself into the regional 8. And then from there, you can get yourself in the European Championship. And from there, you can get yourself in the elimination. From there, you can get yourself the K1 World Grand Prix. They had a map for how you get to the championship. And it starts by having a lot of opportunities for guys to make their names. Alexei Agnishov was found in a little tournament kind of like this, and then he became who he became. So ideally, that's what we want to see moving forward. Glory announced the tournament field, their brackets, because now they're continuing to do things in Europe. 85 kg tournament this time. There's some notable names in the tournament. I won't mention them all. Egron Pertini of Croatia. I've seen him fight several times. Giuseppe De Dementio. I think it's Dementio. He's up there. Igor Mkik. I know he is. David Redef. I'm from France. I know who he is. It's a card. Oh, Rodislav Pakuski. I've seen him fight before, too. As I go off this list, I'm starting to notice a few more names. But, again, they're just trying to put tournament fields together, and hopefully this helps their name brand. They just got to make sure these fights get seen. You know what I'm saying? They got to get them on some sort of broadcasting channel or some sort of something. They can't just have them sit as, go check out this fight when it comes to your town. Not good enough. We got to be able to see this. As well, you know, it's got to be online, as well as get some good local ticket sales. So we'll see what happens with it. Croatian promotion, FFC, is ending their year with a really good card. And I'm going to go ahead and name some names. Mladen Brestovic is a champion for them. He's going to go against Daniel Lentier, Cameroon, France, for a heavyweight title match. Pavel Zarevlev goes against David Podorok. Podorok still hanging on out there. Podorok, of course, he fought in Glory. Not so much Glory. Glory's not so much what he's known for. It's Showtime and fighting for K1 is what he's known for. He kind of got a victory over Michael McDonald back in the day. They redid it because they thought that it was unfair because it happened kind of in his background or in his hometown. So he beat Podorok, beat him again. And then Podorok, of course, has got that nasty overeem loss. And he's just a good, solid fighter. Not, you know, great, never meant to be great, but meant to go out and get some upset victories for his, you know, in his smaller size. And he had a really good run. So Denis Marjanovic, he will go against Rene Wimmer. I think I've only seen Wimmer fight like once, but just, you know, I just want to throw those out there. that Zagreb card's going to be decent. That's December 17th. So hopefully those videos emerge. I really thought that some of the kickboxing outings were pretty solid here. I want to see more promotions doing what we're getting from Croatia. They're doing some stuff. W5 had a good year. I'll get into it more once we get to, you know, kind of the year end. But I was really, really pleased with this. Glory for the December 10th card announced it. There's some things that I want to talk about before we get even closer to that date. First of all, this card, top to bottom, is awesome. The whole card should be worth $29. It should be worth $30 for us. That's what it is here in the States. It's $29.95 or something like that. The whole card in itself should be under the banner of Glory Collision, and that's where your money should get you. But, strangely, your money gets you the entire Glory 36 card, the Super Fight Series, which is another five or six fights, however you want to put it. And then you've got your Glory Collision, which is four fights. So really you're paying the $30 for the four fights. Here's my problem with it. People are going to be trying to find some illegal streams if it's only four fights that they're going to get in the card. Fair on fair, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to get those streams. I'm just being real with you. They're going to see, can I get around that if that's all I have to pay? If you're asking me for $30 for just that. Now, if you're saying $30 for the whole card, a lot less people are trying to get around the stream. But if you say, okay, you get all this, you get excited, and then we've got just this little bit on the end for you, it's different. Now, clearly, this model, to me, looks like the UFC model. It looks like we've got our pay-per-view part, which is right at the top. There are four fights. UFC usually does five or six. Mainly the UFC does five. You've got your Glory Super Fight Series. That's what they have on what would be Fox Sports 1 here in the States, like a regular TV channel. And then you've got your Glory 36 Series, which is a Fight Pass type setup. Fight Pass usually only has like three fights, maybe four max for that. So you got your Fight Pass, you've got your regular TV, and then you've got your pay-per-view. It looks like that's the model Glory's going for here when I look at this. But man, if you're trying to get somebody to pay $30, and don't forget, kickboxing is not hot in the States. It's moving, it's getting some pay, people are paying attention to it. And as I mentioned before, the Glory had a great night where, you know, just, you know, random NBA players and so on started watching kickboxing, and then they're like, whoever this guy is, he's killing it. Like, you want that kind of stuff to happen to your sport. So I understand those aspects of it, but this has got to be seen. This has got to be seen. And if your money is paying for $29, it should pay for it all. I am actually going to say something that sounds like I'm against the fan base. Either have the whole card for free on, you know, your normal media outlets, or have the whole card for pay-per-view. But $29 or $30 just for those top four fights, don't know if it's not. And really, they're doing it because of the top fight. You know, you take that top fight off, if one of those guys get injured, you've got no pay-per-view. So I understand what they're doing, but go ahead and go through the card. Davide Kiria against Anthony Moiseev. Thank you very much. Yod Kumpon, Hensi Bakiri. Thank you. Musab Mirani versus Fabio Pinca. They'll do it again, brother. They fought in Thai fight about 4 or 5 years ago. I want to say 5 years ago. I want to say 6 years ago. Sitichai versus Marak Gorian for the lightweight title. They'll do it again for the, like, I want to say like the fourth time in like 2 years. At least for sure the third time in that period of time. But no, I think it's their fourth time fighting in 2 years. As I said before, kickboxing, sport of rematches. The women's tournament, of course, goes down with Gladstone, Van Soest, Verbeek, and Debbie. And we've got a lightweight bout with Andre Brule and Tejani Bestati, and the reason why I bring that fight up is it's probably the least notable guys on this whole card. Other than that, we got Hiraka Gorian, we've got Daniel Younga, Michael Dude. Shout out to Younga. Way to make your way back, my man. Ishmael Ant versus Jamal Ben Sadek. Holtzkin versus Chris Dombey. Holtzkin just fought for us. He's going to fight for us again. Gotta love the guy. Rico Vahirevin, of course, that's in the Glory card. It's what you want. It's going to be the best night in kickboxing this year. And I'm going to be sitting down in front of my computer, and I'm going to watch that whole thing. And I'm really excited about that card. It's been put together very, very well. Let's see how it finishes. Let's see how it goes. Hopefully we get no injuries. Hopefully we get no changes, but it is what it is. I will wrap the show up by talking about Bukhao Becimek and his fight with Yi Long. So it's very, very clear that this is a robbery. Not only did Bukayo beat Benjamin, he beat him up. There is no argument for Yi Long winning this fight. The problem with it is Yi Long is a national hero. He is very, very popular. They did 11.8 on the ratings. I mean, this guy is like, and we're talking in China. You know, we're not talking like, you know, you're in some small country where, you know, even if you got 50% of the viewerships watching on TV, that 50% is in a country that has, you know, 600,000 people. You know, we're talking about 100 million plus watching these guys compete. And it was clear to me, clear to Bukayo, clear, no argument made. Like it would have been better if Yi Long had moments where he just threw ape, just threw wild. If he did like maybe 10 seconds of wild throwing, missing or not, in rounds 1, 2, and 3. Just did it, you know, a few times. He just got beat up. Got teep to the body, knee to the body. Took body kicks, took boxing. Just got beat up to the point where he was just standing around. Every once in a while, he'd throw a punch. And then at the end of the rounds, he kind of do this pose like, I won the round. But he's such a national hero that when this happened, this isn't controversial. This is a robbery. The wrong person did not win the fight. And you know it's famous because Bukayo, who, when Bukayo loses, it's a big deal, no matter what. Bukayo is still considered one of the best fighters in the world. People are going to go look. They're going to hit up their YouTube. They're going to stop on their Facebook when that fight emerges. They're going to see what's going on with Bukayo. So when they see him win this fight and not get the W, and then you hear the circumstances, they're like, this is just, you know, it's not good. It's not good for the game. But at the same time, it might be great for this promotion to do this, you know, bogus, you know, kind of setup, because that's how much they wanted this guy to beat Bukayo. That's how much they wanted him to get the notoriety. Because, I mean, both of their fights, Bukayo has pretty much handled and won every single round in it. But they went the other way. I thought that the crowd who was there, they didn't really celebrate like crazy, but I know they weren't mad that, you know, Bukayo, because that's what you want. If the wrong guy doesn't get their hand raised, you want the crowd to show some dissension. You want them to be against the refs. You want them to be against that system. We didn't get none of that here. None of that. What we got here instead was some people that were pretty much just kind of upset with how the system, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, we got the win. We can't really celebrate it because you can't show highlights of the fight for Yi Long because he's pretty much just getting beat up the whole time. But they're happy that he got his W over, you know, Bukayo, who it's like their hero beat the legend. And that seems to be the narrative of this story. So hopefully Bukayo got a whole bunch of money to, you know, get robbed like that. And we'll see if they ever do it again. But I'm telling you, the ratings for this and the amount of people who saw it is just, it's just insane. The China really can be, if they can just get consistency, and more than anything, if they can just get a clear road to how you are successful or how you become champion, China could be the center of the kickboxing world. They could be what Japan was. They've got the viewers. They've got the sponsors. They've got the TV shows. They've got the fight opportunities. They pay the fighters well. They have it all. They just don't have clarity. And that's what K1 had. K1 had a lot of things, and they were paying guys better at the time, whatever. But the main thing K1 had was clarity. You knew what was going down in December. You knew what was going down in July. Those were the things that made that sport special. So thank you all for listening to the podcast, and again, I'll try not to be this late, but, you know, when you get that opportunity, you know, for your athletes to jump to the highest level, you know, it's all hands on deck to make sure that he's prepared to compete, even though it's short notice. So thank you all. God bless. Again, hearts out to the family, to, you know, Mark DeBonte and Barker. Hearts out to those gyms. You know, that's just a scary situation. So thank you all for listening. God bless, and you guys have a good night. And if you get a chance, make sure you're watching Kickboxing Infusion's got a big time show coming up this weekend. You know, of course, their tournament field continues. So we've got, Dribe and Moe's going again. Of course, Oskin's going to be out there again. Typhoon Oskin's going to be competing. And then, of course, the Pretty Killer, Iman Barlow, will be defending her title. So it's just going to be a good weekend of kickboxing. Get out there, support it. If you're in our area, if you see me, if you guys happen to recognize me, and you're coming to the fight event here in Ireland, give a brother a shout. Say what's up to me. I definitely want to talk to you because I love talking about kickboxing. So The first fight in the card with Abdul Al-Hassan. So for those who want to see Abdul Razak Al-Hassan compete, just go ahead and hit up your fight pass, and we're the first fight at 5:30. But other than that, back to what I do. Keep the show kickboxing. Thank you very much, and you guys have a good one. Peace.